97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning, Mark. Just thinking how bad the school shooting could have been yesterday had Kamala Harris got her wish and had all armed police officers removed from schools, period.
Yeah, thank you. One listener, Jack, there on the comment line this morning talking about reaction to the school shooting. Of course, Kamala Harris and others came out immediately, blamed the gun. But he's right. Back in 2019, when she was running, when she was still a senator and running for president, she very much in completely supported demilitarizing our schools by removing all police officers. It was a school resource officer that stopped that shooting yesterday. And to Jack's point, here's the soundbite.
Being incarcerated for a couple of days is traumatic, much less the weeks, months, and years that we're seeing that happen. And so part of my plan is also a reduction of that. And then also, again, what we need to do about taking demilitarizing our schools and taking police officers out of schools. We need to deal with the reality and speak the truth about the inequities around school discipline.
Yeah, there you have it. That's the same crap Barack Obama was doing in schools.
What are you going to do? Give him like a slingshot? This isn't a David and Goliath situation. They need to be armed. That is an insane comment to say that. How can you say that you care about our kids' safety when you want to take out police officers from schools and make them soft targets, which is exactly what they have done?
We've heard it before, but Jack, we appreciate your comments. You two can leave your thoughts there. Go to the Odyssey app, find the 97.1 logo. You'll see the microphone button. You can hit record and leave a comment up to 60 seconds long for whatever topic we happen to be talking about. That was the school shooting there for sure. By the way, we'll check in on with Shannon Bream coming up in just a minute, host of a Fox News Sunday. See what she's got going on for this weekend and maybe her thoughts on the debate, because the rules have now been released for next week's debate between Harris and Trump, and we're all looking forward to that. But first, I want to get to our top stories, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This was supposed to be a debate.
Right.
So I would have preferred.
I
think he's a nice guy, but I would have preferred a debate.
Thanks a lot.
But this is the best we could do, Sean.
Yeah, you're the best we could do, Sean, but we're here anyway. You should have seen the crowd at this thing. People lined up yesterday morning to get into this town hall meeting that was recorded with Sean Hannity last night.
I think what actually might happen based on his military service is he's going to bail out at the last minute, but say he went anyway. I think that's the Tim Walz approach to the debate.
There you have it. And J.D. Vance not holding back anything, talking about Tim Walz and looking forward to his own vice presidential debate that will follow next Tuesday's debate.
They should be fulfilling their God-given potential, and some part of their big, beautiful brain is concerned about a shooter busting through the door of the classroom.
Yeah, there she is.
It does not have to be this way.
Yeah, Chris Murphy, the Democratic senator, out this morning promising that if you just elect her, she'll start banning guns so you won't have to worry about it anymore.
I later learned that at least three air marshals were assigned to watch me every time I traveled in the airport and on the flight.
How about that? That is Tulsi Gabbard. I don't know if you've heard her tell this story or not, but she suddenly announced, I think she announced this about 3 weeks ago, that she was on like a watch list, a terror watch list.
Yep.
This is a woman who served her country for 24 years in the military, right? Served in Afghanistan and several overseas locations, criticized Kamala Harris, and the next day she's found out now that the very next day after the interview she did on CNN criticizing Harris and maybe endorsing Trump, I can't remember if it was the same interview, she was on a watch list. And it's something that should scare the hell out of everybody listening to my voice right now. You should probably scare me. Maybe I'll end up on a watch list. I mean, who knows? If you're critical of this administration, they have weaponized their Department of Justice. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Yet that's what they warn will happen if Donald Trump is reelected.
Absolutely. Listen to Tulsi Gabbard telling a little bit about her story here. Listen.
I've served now for over 21 years, deployed to war zones in both the Middle East and Africa, put my life on the line for the freedom and safety of the American people, and still serve today. Now, my own government has placed me on a secret terror watch list, targeting me as a potential domestic terror threat. Why? Political retaliation. I spoke out about how dangerous Kamala Harris would be to our nation if she were to be elected as president, and why the American people should be very concerned.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like Kamala Harris should be on a terror watch list because she has said the exact same thing of Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's true. Repeatedly. In fact, that's apparently going to be one of her talking points for the upcoming debate is she's going to try to rattle Trump and all this stuff and call him a threat to democracy. There's a threat here, but it's a threat to your First Amendment right to speak. Listen to Jonathan Turley explain this, because remember what they're trying to do in Brazil? They're trying to ban X because they don't like the expression of free speech, and they don't have a First Amendment in Brazil. And this is what Jonathan Turley says. If they're successful, liberals everywhere will try to adopt that same policy. Listen.
If Brazil can succeed in banning Twitter from the entire country, it will be replicated, because many hold the view of what you just heard from Vice President Harris. They view speech as a privilege. It's like a driver's license that they think that can be rescinded if you're reckless. And this is the ultimate destination for this movement, where if they can't convince people to give up their own freedoms to embrace censorship, they're going to start to take sites offline to prevent people from hearing opposing views.
Yeah, he called it a nightmare for the First Amendment if she gets elected. Or it could be even worse, and you could end up like Tulsi Gabbard.
I later learned that at least three air marshals were assigned to watch me every time I traveled, in the airport and on the flight. TSA deployed explosive K9 detection teams and a TSA explosive specialist. Now, this is extreme by any measure. What were they looking for? What kind of threat did they think I posed? What were they afraid that I was going to do? None of this made sense until I put all the pieces together. On July 21st, President Biden announced he was dropping out of the presidential race and endorsing Kamala Harris to be the Democratic nominee. On July 22nd, I did an interview with Fox News' Laura Ingraham about how dangerous a potential Kamala Harris presidency would be for our country.
And the next day, she got put on the terror watch list.
I just don't think it's coinkydink.
No. I don't buy that at all, and neither does Tulsi Gabbard, and neither should you. All right, coming up, Shannon Bream is going to join us. Love having her on here every Thursday when we can get her, and we'll talk about what she's got coming up for the weekend, plus her thoughts on the debate next Tuesday now that the rules are out. We'll be right back.
She will not allow fracking. She's not going to, and she's got a lot of other problems too. But for your particular,
Mr. President,
for the Commonwealth, you have no choice,
if I may,
but to allow it.
16 minutes and 30 seconds are up. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, man.
The President.
Get up, baby. Get up.
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Yeah, equal time allotted there, right? Shannon Bream by Sean Hannity last night.
Well, listen, we were supposed to have a different debate last night, right? So
yeah.
If one of the parties wants to show up, we'd love to have both.
Hey, you tell them that if that happens, that needs to be Brett Baer and Shannon Bream. Forget that Martha McCallum lady.
We love Martha.
Oh, we!
The
thing
at Fox is that I feel like we have such a good family of great people who can tackle this. Like, you name the moderator, you pick someone at Fox. Just come on down, and we'll get it done.
Yeah, I the thing about it is, I've been a consumer of television news. I worked in the industry at the local level for 25 years. I do not understand why Kamala Harris would be intimidated to sit down and be asked questions by Brett Baer and Martha McCallum. They're fair-minded people. They're journalists. They would get that job done, but there's some fear factor there that I don't understand.
Well, and interesting. interesting thing is that the numbers show we have the most diverse audience ideologically. We have a makeup of Democrats, Republicans, Independents, people who self-identify that is the best mix of any of the networks you'll go on. So don't think you're coming to just sort of, if you want to call it, quote, enemy territory or something that you think leans to the right. Our viewers are the best cross-section you could get of Americans, so why not take your case to them?
Yeah, it makes sense. Somebody's advising her against that for sure. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the debate rules? I see they rolled those out very similar to the first one, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. And listen, it's so funny because, you know, there were people who feel like, you know, in the pro-Trump camp, listen, these rules in the first one, they benefited him. He seemed controlled. There wasn't a lot of crosstalking. It was disciplined, and that worked for him. So let's stick to those rules. Well, then, you know, the Harris camp comes along, and obviously they want to have the advantage best for their candidate. And she's had so many of those viral moments where she says things like, I'm speaking now. Don't interrupt me. And so I think that they wanted to preserve the ability to have those moments, which show her as somebody who's in command of the conversation. And there's some, you know, back and forth chattering that her team still thinks there will be some crosstalk allowed. But for now, it sounds like the rules are that when you're not speaking, your mic is muted.
Yeah.
You know, Mark and I have been talking about how Liz Cheney came out and endorsed Kamala Harris. I don't know how big of a deal that really is. Like, I don't think anyone is surprised by that. What do you think?
What would have been shocking to me is if she came out and said, and I'm voting for President Trump.
Yeah, like, that would have been a bigger shocker.
That actually would have been the shocker. I think, you know, stand by for Adam Kinzinger. I mean, you know, I think that they've made very clear how they feel about President Trump.
Right.
And you know, their willingness to go and be a part of the Democrat conversation in that party. You know, it's just a question of whether have you formally left your party? I mean, we have Democrats that have come over and will say, okay, I'm going to join, you know, the Republican camp in some level of support. Have they left their party? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, I wonder with this shooting in Georgia, mm-hmm. she immediately, Harris, that is, pivoted to gun control. And mm-hmm. it's not hard to find. In fact, I went back to 2019 and found a soundbite, an interview with her where she demanded that police officers be removed from schools mm-hmm. because it militarized schools. And yet it was a school resource officer we see here mm-hmm. who saved the day or at least prevented further death and destruction at the school.
Right. And was incredibly brave. I mean, to go and approach somebody who has shot people, is still shooting. That's a hero right there. And I think most parents want that person at their kid's school. She's also said things like there's a misperception that more police officers means more safety or better safety. Well, a lot of people logically think that is true. She's also got the issue with the mandatory gun buyback conversation. So I got to believe that, you know, gun violence and gun issues are going to be part of that debate next week. But it will also mean she's going to have to answer exactly where she is on Second Amendment rights, both sides of that conversation.
Yeah, very true. You know, I saw where Justice Ketanji Brown has kind of been doing the media circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Has she pitched coming on your show with her book?
We have reached out numerous times. We've reached out to the publisher. I've reached out to her directly, and we've had crickets so far. But hope springs eternal. I think she has a thank you. No extra charge for the sound effects. I think she has a fascinating personal story, and it's been very interesting to watch her first year or so on the bench. So we would love to have a conversation. That door is definitely wide open.
Yeah, they spend a lot of time in the interviews I've seen focusing on her, you know, her disagreement on immunity and issues like that, mm-hmm. which she's kind of mm-hmm. sidestepped. I mean, she hasn't really talked about it a lot, even in the interview. She's kind of sidestepped it, but that still seems to have been the focus of it.
Yeah, and she did make a comment, I think it was with CBS, where she said something to the fact that, you know, I was concerned about the court, yeah. you know, crafting this immunity for one person when the law is supposed to be applied to everybody mm-hmm. equally. And I think the majority would obviously take issue with that characterization. They, you know, made clear they were deciding this for all presidents of all time in America, and that it should be applied to every president the same way, whether they're Democrat or Republican. There are official core acts that they argued a president needs to have protection to make those difficult decisions. But when there are, you know, things that are not related to the core acts of a president that are personal in nature that no one could argue would be official business, there is criminal liability for that.
Yeah. Do you have a lineup yet for Sunday?
Well, Senator John Cornyn is among those who are going to join us. He's an interesting guy because you remember he's pretty critical of President Trump at times. But now is out there helping to fundraise for him. He's got a lot to say about the border, which is still a continuing problem. And we may have a couple of debate folks. They have prepped people for presidential debates. How does it work and what these candidates should be doing?
That's a good point. Shannon will be watching Sunday. Thank you.
See Sunday.
All right.
Thanks,
see you. Yep. Shannon Breen there. Fox News Sunday. You can hear it at 4 p.m. on Sunday afternoons right here on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll play that for you. Coming up, where in the world is Griff Jenkins? Is he on a surfboard somewhere? Or is he surfing the swamp this morning? I don't know. We'll be right back.
A lot of them, they get out and talk about the Russian hoax. Oh, it's a Russian. Oh, there's no. Come on, what are you talking about? There's no connection between, you know, this and Russia. And Russia's not trying to always apologizing for Russia, always apologizing for Putin.
Yeah. In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Hey, buddy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Talking a little Russian disinformation, are you?
Well, you know, I had to play that. I had to play that bite from Joe Scarborough, who claims that whatever Merrick Garland announced yesterday is clear evidence that they were right all along, that the Russians were conspiring to get Donald Trump in the White House. Vladimir Putin came out yesterday and endorsed Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Listen. You know, this we'll see, and to be a journalist and be fair about this, we'll see what else bears out of the evidence of their efforts. But on the face of it, I think what most people took away, I mean, as soon as he said that the Russian infiltrators had spent $10 million in an election cycle where both campaigns are likely going to spend $1 billion. It reminded me of the Austin Powers movie where Dr. Evil puts his pinky up to his mouth and says, $1 million. Like, this is small ball. This is small potatoes that we're talking about, but yet they put such a huge emphasis on it as if it was going to have a tremendous impact. And you know, look, a $10 million effort in a $2 billion election campaign probably isn't going to have much of an impact. However, I will give them credit. I'll give Garland credit for I kept thinking, when's Iran coming in? Because Iran's not only trying to influence the election, they're trying to kill Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what does it tell you when you have Putin and you know, Iran wanting to support, like, our enemies want to support Kamala Harris? That should tell people something.
Yeah, well, you know, they're picking their favorite horse, so good on them. They're free to do whatever they want, but they're not part of this election cycle, so stay out of it, buddy. I think the other thing that hasn't gotten much attention that's worth noting is, you know, the lack of confidence in DOJ and FBI has to be, and I can't cite the number, but it's got to be at an all-time low for obvious and glaring reasons. But, you know, the day before the big press conference yesterday, they indicted dead people. They indicted, you know, the Hamas. They said, we're indicting the Hamas folks. It's like, okay, you indicted Ismail Haniyeh, who was assassinated, Mohammed Deif, who was assassinated. So I'm not sure exactly what purpose it serves to indict bad guys when they're already dead.
Right. No, I would agree with that completely. And speaking of the Hamas, I mean, they've just done it to act like it's been 11 months. Why didn't you hand down some indictments 11 months ago when they first killed all these Israelis and abducted these Americans and all that stuff? It's just, it's window dressing for the DOJ, in my opinion. But I did find this bite this morning. Griffin, I know you've covered it in the past. I don't know if you covered it yesterday or not, but there were more protests on campus when some kids showed back up this week. And up in New York, somebody found a Jewish student outside watching these protests, and this was what he said.
Kamala is the one who said she sympathizes with the human emotion of these protesters. What are you sympathizing with? Terrorism? Joe Biden, I mean, where is he? Has he made a speech about anything? I mean, an American just got shot in the head. Where is everyone? Where's the accountability? I just don't get it anymore. And you know what? I might be going off the lam here. If you're Jewish and you vote for Democrats, you're crazy. I'm sorry. You're insane. Kamala is the one.
He just kind of went sideways on him. I don't blame him for feeling that way. The president's been on a beach somewhere when all this is going on.
I think that sentiment is shared by a whole lot more Jewish students than just him. And, you know, our reporter, my colleague Alexis McAdams, has been doing a great job up there in New York on Columbia's campus reporting on this. And, you know, another student that I saw interviewed that broke my heart. You know, in full disclosure, Mark, I have my youngest daughter. I just dropped off a month ago at University of Miami to start college. You know, I'm dealing with daily text messages and phone calls because it's tough for the kids. They all miss their friends from home, and you go through the normal things and you tell them, get out, get involved. And she's finally getting to meet some other girls and get to go out and do things together. And these are the challenges that most college kids should face. But
right.
Alexis interviewed one student, and this poor girl was like, I came to college. She also just started. She's like, I want to be worrying about going to parties, not worrying about being attacked and spit on and worried about my safety. I think the Wall Street Journal has an editorial board piece today with the title, Welcome Back to Protest University. Will college officials tolerate the anti-Semitic disgraces of the spring? And I would recommend it for all of our listeners to read it today, because it really lays out the fact that anti-Semitism has just been completely excused and discarded and omitted with all of these college campuses where we're seeing it pop up. DEI, except for anti-Semitism.
Right.
That's okay.
Well, didn't a bunch of members of Congress sign some letter that basically said to all these universities, including Columbia University, we want to see step-by-step the actions you're going to take to prevent this from happening again? I don't know what came of that.
Well, that's a good question. I don't either, and I remember that happened. I will say, and the Wall Street Journal points it out, that, you know, at least UCLA gets a little bit of kudos, because UCLA, remember back in the spring, they set up the Jew exclusion zone.
Oh, yeah.
And the courts got involved and said, not okay. And they shut that down, and now they won't be able to have even encampments or whatever. We'll see how long that holds. But I just, you know, the last thing a kid going to college should worry about if they're Jewish is their safety. And the last thing parents should be worrying about is the safety of their kid when they send them off to these schools that, you know, look, the joke in my house is, because Miami's a highly expensive school and, you know, they pay us in peanuts here at Fox. We do okay, but, you know, we're reporters. But like the joke with my wife and I is, you know, people say, how are you adjusting to being an empty nester? Because our eldest daughter's out of college and moved on. And I said, well, is it an empty nester if you go broke trying to pay for college and are homeless? Like, I'm an empty nester without a nest. And you know, I say that jokingly to put in perspective it's just unbelievable that we've gotten to this point where safety and permitted anti-Semitism is an issue on any college campus in America.
Right. That's a great point. I'm just doing the flip test. Imagine having a black free zone set up on a campus.
A lot of them, they get out and talk about the Russian hoax. Oh, it's a Russian. Oh, there's no. Come on, what are you talking about? There's no connection between, you know, this and Russia. And Russia's not trying to do, but always apologizing for Russia, always apologizing for Putin.
Yeah. In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Hey, buddy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Talking a little Russian disinformation, are you?
Well, you know, I had to play that bite from Joe Scarborough, who claims that whatever Merrick Garland announced yesterday is clear evidence that they were right all along, that the Russians were conspiring to get Donald Trump in the White House. Vladimir Putin came out yesterday and endorsed Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Listen. You know, this we'll see, and to be a journalist and be fair about this, we'll see what else bears out of the evidence of their efforts. But on the face of it, I think what most people took away, as soon as he said that the Russian infiltrators had spent $10 million in an election cycle where both campaigns are likely going to spend $1 billion. It reminded me of the Austin Powers movie where Dr. Evil puts his pinky up to his mouth and says, $1 million. Like, this is small ball. This is small potatoes that we're talking about, but yet they put such a huge emphasis on it as if it was going to have a tremendous impact. And you know, look, a $10 million effort in a $2 billion election campaign probably isn't going to have much of an impact. However, I will give them credit. I'll give Garland credit for, I kept thinking, when's Iran coming in? Because Iran's not only trying to influence the election, they're trying to kill Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what does it tell you when you have Putin and you know, Iran wanting to support, like, our enemies want to support Kamala Harris? That should tell people something.
Yeah, well, you know, they're picking their favorite horse, so good on them. They're free to do whatever they want, but they're not part of this election cycle, so stay out of it, buddy. I think the other thing that hasn't gotten much attention that's worth noting is, you know, the lack of confidence in DOJ and FBI has to be, and I can't cite the number, but it's got to be at an all-time low for obvious and glaring reasons. But, you know, the day before the big press conference yesterday, they indicted dead people. They indicted, you know, the Hamas. They said, we're indicting the Hamas folks. It's like, okay, you indicted Ismail Haniyeh, who was assassinated, Mohammed Deif, who was assassinated. So I'm not sure exactly what purpose it serves to indict bad guys when they're already dead.
Right. No, I would agree with that completely. And speaking of the Hamas, I mean, they've just done it to act like it's been 11 months. Why didn't you hand down some indictments 11 months ago when they first killed all these Israelis and abducted these Americans and all that stuff? It's just, it's window dressing for the DOJ, in my opinion. But I did find this bite this morning. Griffin, I know you've covered it in the past. I don't know if you covered it yesterday or not, but there were more protests on campus when some kids showed back up this week. And up in New York, somebody found a Jewish student outside watching these protests, and this was what he said.
Kamala is the one who said she sympathizes with the human emotion of these protesters. What are you sympathizing with? Terrorism? Joe Biden, I mean, where is he? Has he made a speech about anything? I mean, an American just got shot in the head. Where is everyone? Where's the accountability? I just don't get it anymore. And you know what? I might be going off the lam here. If you're Jewish and you vote for Democrats, you're crazy. I'm sorry. You're insane. Kamala is the one.
Just kind of went sideways on him. I don't blame him for feeling that way. The president's been on a beach somewhere when all this is going on.
I think that sentiment is shared by a whole lot more Jewish students than just him. And, you know, our reporter, my colleague Alexis McAdams, has been doing a great job up there in New York on Columbia's campus reporting on this. And, you know, another student that I saw interviewed that broke my heart. You know, in full disclosure, Mark, I have my youngest daughter. I just dropped off a month ago at University of Miami to start college. You know, I'm dealing with daily text messages and phone calls because it's tough for the kids. They all miss their friends from home, and you go through the normal things and you tell them, get out, get involved. And she's finally getting to meet some other girls and get to go out and do things together. And these are the challenges that most college kids should face.
But right.
Alexis interviewed one student, and this poor girl was like, I came to college. She also just started. She's like, I want to be worrying about going to parties, not worrying about being attacked and spit on and worried about my safety. I think the Wall Street Journal has an editorial board piece today with the title, "Welcome Back to Protest University. Will College Officials Tolerate the Anti-Semitic Disgraces of the Spring?" And I would recommend it for all of our listeners to read it today, because it really lays out the fact that anti-Semitism has just been completely excused,
yes,
and discarded and omitted with all of these college campuses where we're seeing it pop up. DEI, except for anti-Semitism.
Right.
That's okay.
Well, didn't a bunch of members of Congress sign some letter that basically said to all these universities, including Columbia University, we want to see step-by-step the actions you're going to take to prevent this from happening again? I don't know what came of that.
Well, that's a good question. I don't either, and I remember that happened. I will say, and the Wall Street Journal points it out, that, you know, at least UCLA gets a little bit of kudos, because UCLA, remember back in the spring, they set up the Jew exclusion zone.
Oh, yeah.
And the courts got involved and said, not okay. And they shut that down, and now they won't be able to have even encampments or whatever. We'll see how long that holds. But I just, you know, the last thing a kid going to college should worry about if they're Jewish is their safety. And the last thing parents should be worrying about is the safety of their kid when they send them off to these schools that, you know, look, the joke in my house is, because Miami's a highly expensive school and, you know, they pay us in peanuts here at Fox. We do okay, but, you know, we're reporters. But like the joke with my wife and I is, you know, people say, how are you adjusting to being an empty nester? Because our eldest daughter's out of college and moved on. And I said, well, is it an empty nester if you go broke trying to pay for college and are homeless? Like, I'm an empty nester without a nest. And you know, I say that jokingly to put in perspective that it's just unbelievable that we've gotten to this point where safety and permitted anti-Semitism is an issue on any college campus in America.
Right. That's a great point. I'm just doing the flip test. Imagine having a black free zone set up on a campus somewhere. They would never allow that. A Muslim free zone set up on a campus. And yet they were willing to look the other way when somebody set up a Jew free zone on campus. Then they had to get the courts involved. I mean, it's outrageous.
Well, and, you know, there are 4 American Israeli hostages now in captivity more than 300 days that are possibly facing the same fate as Hirsch Goldberg Polan. And at this very moment that that's a reality, you have school officials trying to figure out whether or not they're going to protect students. You know, Jewish students who are traumatized right now, simply not by what's happening on the campus, but watching what's developing in Israel right now, would be given a pass for being upset about it, let alone worrying about it coming home on their campus, where either hateful in worst case or ignorant in the best case have fellow students that are attacking them.
Wow. It's just amazing that we're watching this in real time. Griff, appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. And by the way, stay tuned to my reporting. I've been working on that Tren de Aragua, that Venezuelan gang that's popping up all across America, from Aurora, Colorado to New York, now in Dallas, apparently, in criminal activity. Trying to get more on that. Bring it to you when we get it.
Excellent. We'll look for it, Griff. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have
all
a
right.
Weekend.
You bet. Yep. That's Yeah, I'll watch for that. I saw a meme the other day that they were sending a group of motorcyclists out to Colorado to take care of that problem.
Yeah, it's crazy. You see the video of these gang members with guns walking around apartment to apartment. It looked like they busted in one of the doors.
I know.
Collecting the rent or something. The whole thing is crazy and weird.
Yep. All right, quick break here. We're back in just a minute. All right, welcome back. Just a quick reminder, we are going to have the show live coming up on the 11th the day after the debate next Tuesday. So next Wednesday morning, we'll be live down in Eureka for the entire show from 5 until 9. Hope you can swing by and say hello. Our friends at Chicken Ellie's have been messaging me on Facebook this morning, bragging about all of the different specials they have down there.
They had you at gravy.
The Greg Brown special. I told them that I described the Mark Cox special. They need to just a little bit of spicy sausage, some bacon, some eggs over medium, important, some hash browns, all covered with sausage gravy, and maybe a nice biscuit on the side. That would make me very happy.
That sounds good, minus the gravy.
Oh, not a gravy fan?
It's okay. You can't ruin eggs and, you know, you do like eggs, bacon, home fries, maybe some pancakes.
Are you a grits fan?
No.
No, Carl?
I crave pancakes nonstop.
Yes.
You like grits.
I do.
I love grits.
Brown sugar.
Brown sugar, cheese, just salt and pepper.
Cheese and cheesy grits.
Yeah,
cheesy potatoes.
Good. Cheesy grits. Good. I don't know if even if they do grits at Chicken Ellie's.
It's off menu.
That's where we'll be. I don't know that it is. But anywhere in the South, I remember when I moved to the South, because I've got a lot of relatives in Kentucky, and I always thought of that as the South. But I don't ever remember getting grits regularly growing up, so it wasn't something my family did. Then I moved to South Carolina. That's the South.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't go anywhere and get the blue plate special or whatever the breakfast special is and not get a side of grits. They serve it with everything down there.
They were everywhere in Nashville when I lived there.
That's where I developed my flip. My wife doesn't like them at all because, really, unless you add butter or salt and pepper or, you know, brown sugar or something like that, it's not, they don't have a lot of flavor. It's a consistency issue for her, I think, but I love them.
I mean,
love
if you add butter and salt and brown sugar to like anything, it's going to be
probably
better and edible at that point.
This is very true. You make a good point there. So anyway, be sure and join us. We'll be hanging out. We're going to be helping the Focus Marine Foundation raise money, and they help vets who are coming out of all services transition back into just life, right? And we love helping them out. We'll be doing that all day next Wednesday. This story that you sent out, Kim, I have to get to here. From Channel 4 covered this, but it happened formerly in my neck of the woods in Wildwood. Listen to this. Carl,
help from the community after rescuing a massive number of cats from a hoarding situation in Wildwood. So these are the pictures from inside the home where the cats were rescued from. The APA tells us this is the largest cat hoarding case it's ever handled. More than 137 new cats coming into their care at their Olivet location all at once, and more are on the way. That brings their total cat population to almost 500. It's stretching their resources to the max, and now they're asking you for help. The APA needs people willing to foster or adopt.
Yeah, I'll bet they do. 130 cats in one house. Can you imagine what the smell must have been like?
No. I am a dog person, and cat smells just stay around. Well, they are very hard to get out. And 137 cats, albeit this was supposedly an 8,000 square foot home in Wildwood. So this is a massive home. But still, I'm sure just cat pee and
That's other the thing. Things. They don't like dirty litter, and they'll go somewhere else if it. I just can't imagine what that place must have smelled like.
Did you hear too that there were several dead cats that were found in a deep freezer at the home?
Oh no!
Yeah, this is really sad though. The daughter of this couple is saying that it was like a family member that she felt like was elder abuse and animal abuse and was keeping her parents away from the rest of the family. And anyway, the whole situation's weird.
What a mess. All right. It's going to do it for us today. Kill Meet up next probably has more on the town hall last night with President Trump. And we will have the very latest on that as well. For you tomorrow morning, any breaking news we'll cover for you. We'll get to, of course, Mark Reardon, Annie coming up here in a little while. We'll see you tomorrow morning, Friday morning at 5 a.m. Have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
All right, welcome back. Just a quick reminder, we are going to have the show live coming up on the 11th. the day after the debate next Tuesday. So next Wednesday morning, we'll be live down in Eureka for the entire show from 5 until 9. Hope you can swing by and say hello. Our friends at Chicken Ellie's have been messaging me on Facebook this morning, bragging about all of the different specials they have down there.
They had you at gravy.
The Greg Brown special. I told them that I described the Mark Cox special. They need to just a little bit of spicy sausage, some bacon, some eggs over medium, important, some hash browns, all covered with sausage gravy and maybe a nice biscuit on the side. That would make me very happy.
That sounds good, minus the gravy.
Oh, not a gravy fan?
It's okay. You can't ruin eggs and, you know, you do like eggs, bacon, home fries, maybe some pancakes.
Are you a grits fan?
No.
No, Carl?
I crave pancakes nonstop.
Yes.
You like grits.
I do.
I love grits.
Brown sugar.
Brown sugar, cheese, just salt and pepper.
Cheese and cheesy grits.
Cheesy grits.
Cheesy potatoes.
Good. Cheesy grits. Good. I don't know if even if they do grits at Chicken Ellie's.
It's off menu.
That's where we'll be. I don't know that it is. But anywhere in the South, I remember when I moved to the South, because I've got a lot of relatives in Kentucky, and I always thought of that as the South. But I don't ever remember getting grits regularly growing up, so it wasn't something my family did. Then I moved to South Carolina. That's the South.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't go anywhere and get the blue plate special or whatever the breakfast special is and not get a side of grits. They serve it with everything down there.
They were everywhere in Nashville when I lived there.
That's where I developed my flip. My wife doesn't like them at all because, really, unless you add butter or salt and pepper or, you know, brown sugar or something like that, it's not, they don't have a lot of flavor. It's a consistency issue for her, I think, but I love them.
I mean,
love
if you add butter and salt and brown sugar to like anything, it's going to be
probably
better and edible at that point.
This is very true. You make a good point there. So anyway, be sure and join us. We'll be hanging out. We're going to be helping the Focus Marine Foundation raise money, and they help vets who are coming out of all services transition back into just life, right? And we love helping them out. We'll be doing that all day next Wednesday. This story that you sent out, Kim, I have to get to here. From Channel 4 covered this, but it happened formerly in my neck of the woods in Wildwood. Listen to this. Carl,
help from the community after rescuing a massive number of cats from a hoarding situation in Wildwood. So these are the pictures from inside the home where the cats were rescued from. The APA tells us this is the largest cat hoarding case it's ever handled. More than 137 new cats coming into their care at their Olivet location all at once, and more are on the way. That brings their total cat population to almost 500. It's stretching their resources to the max, and now they're asking you for help. The APA needs people willing to foster or adopt.
Yeah, I'll bet they do. 130 cats in one house. Can you imagine what the smell must have been like?
No. I am a dog person, and cat smells just stay around. Well, they are very hard to get out. And 137 cats, albeit this was supposedly an 8,000 square foot home in Wildwood. So this is a massive home. But still, I'm sure just cat pee and
that's other the thing. Things. They don't like dirty litter, and they'll go somewhere else if it. I just can't imagine what that place must have smelled like.
Did you hear too that there were several dead cats that were found in a deep freezer at the home?
Oh no!
Yeah, this is really sad though. The daughter of this couple is saying that it was like a family member that she felt like was elder abuse and animal abuse and was keeping her parents away from the rest of the family. And anyway, the whole situation's weird.
What a mess. All right. It's going to do it for us today. Kill Meet up next probably has more on the town hall last night with President Trump. And we will have the very latest on that as well. For you tomorrow morning, any breaking news we'll cover for you. We'll get to, of course, Mark Reardon, Annie coming up here in a little while. We'll see you tomorrow morning, Friday morning at 5 a.m. Have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com.